today talking about sports and weed. Beast Mode OG, a mother in Pittsburgh who is giving her daughter marijuana, and April's experience at the Secret Sesh. We are the Candlelinguists. I am Alex Mandelberg. With me, as always, the awesome, awesome April O'Connor.
Hello.
And our guest returning for a second time. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Teddy Totson.
The echo and the crowd noise.
The crowd goes wild.
Crowd noise is new. I like that. That's a great addition. And I'm really hoping that every time I appear on the show, something new happens.
Fanfare-wise.
like an old world court with trumpets and shit. That's the
April's
kind of
been talking about bringing in her uvuzela. So, you know, maybe we can get this really
good.
That'd be interesting.
Either that or you could just plug it in an iPad with some sound effects. But I think the MIDI control.
Oh, yeah, that way we could. We could just plug in a new Uvuzela to the MIDI pad.
It'd be way more fun.
Yeah, I'm absolutely fine with putting
We keep threatening to bring the MIDI pad in here. I think the only reason we haven't so far is because me and April are just scared of how much we'll just be like, where can I throw a sound effect in?
I'm glad to be a guinea pig for the MIDI pad project. I'm glad to do it. Okay? I want everyone to know.
You'll be the first.
On Cunning Linguist World, I am very glad to have an episode dedicated to having all the points that we're making interrupted by it.
So this show we just determined will be airing the day before the Super Bowl.
Just a taste.
This show will be airing the day before the Super Bowl, but we've recorded beforehand, and we can't help but talk about it a little bit. Because with April being a Patriots fan, this whole we got flat balls.
And you being antimatter that hates the Patriots.
I am the antimatter that hates the Patriots.
You have
matter.
A hard time
You're
talking to
matter.
Me when I have Patriots.
I do.
It is amazing. For those who haven't been privy to this news, who following the show, just listening for the first time, perhaps Alex Mandelberg, a Jets fan. A.K.A. arch nemesis, April's beloved Patriots.
Yep.
Amazing this show hasn't spontaneously combusted with the sheer amount of hate burning in your heart towards her hopes and dreams of having a
If you're
Super
wondering
Bowl.
What day we recorded, I'll tell you what happened today.
Any time that players complain about the quality of the balls... Balls.
That's right. Today I got to hear Bill Belichick say balls like three times. I got to hear Bill Belichick and Tom Brady said balls like 50 times.
And he didn't break character though. He had to look down and like bite his. You could tell he like swallowed one back.
Oh, Bill Belichick was pissed off the one time he clearly said balls.
Early on in that press conference.
He corrected himself later. He would do the.
Footballs.
See how quick that is? You see how quick he caught that?
He can talk about Tom's personal preferences on his footballs.
See that?
Ball.
That's a professional right there. Ball. I'm not going to put you in a situation where you can use my words to make me seem like I'm a fan of balls. In general, I'm talking about footballs that are relevant to my sport.
And if you've ever wondered what kind of balls Bill Belichick might be into...
Sticky, cold... Slippery.
I mean, God, that beat just... before slippery. That's where I believe April's theory that he's starting to play into it towards the end. Where he's like, fuck it, I'm a grown man. You ain't going to make an ass of me today.
If they're going to make me talk about balls, then damn it.
They're going to enjoy it.
Yeah, damn it, I'm just going to have fun doing it.
Yeah, right? I'm going to talk about balls. There's no other coach who's ever going to go down in the NFL history books as talking about balls as long as I did. It ain't never going to get Tom Landry and this bitch talking about balls. Jimmy Johnson ain't talked about no balls. Mike Ditka, Joe Gibbs ain't talked about no balls. Okay? Bill Walsh ain't talking about no balls. John Madden ain't talking about no balls. That was Bill Belichick.
That is true.
They weighed the balls after the fact. They didn't go in and weigh the balls in advance. They didn't touch the balls. They didn't feel the balls.
Tom Brady was very clear about the fact that he touched the balls. He felt the balls. He approved the balls. And he said, he's like, lock them up. Those balls are perfect. We actually got to hear Tom Brady today.
Can we hear that? Those balls were perfect.
Some guys like old balls. That is a real quote. I sent it to you as a message.
That's okay. I can get this done.
If you just went up to your average American citizen last week before the AFC championship and you said, leading up to the Super Bowl, Tom Brady will stand before the world and say, some guys like old balls. No. No one would have believed you. No one would believe you.
More sticky.
Yeah.
More sticky.
Yeah. He
just a little.
Yeah.
I think it's all a joke. I think they all were like, oh my God, we're just going to have fun with this. Because after a full game of like huge dudes falling on these fucking balls. Yeah, I said it.
A violent, violent game.
Yeah. Balls. And then they're like, oh, and it's fucking cold. Hello, New England. Wicked cold.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, they might be a smidge deflated. They're not like.
It's not unprecedented. Remember when your man Wes Welker got all them feet fetish jokes in against Rex Ryan?
Oh, and he got God. Benched?
So listen, let's not pretend the Patriots as an organization are above such stuff. Okay?
In case you guys were wondering, by the way.
Guys do a great job of breaking the balls. To me, they're perfect. I don't want anyone touching the balls after that. I don't want anyone running them. To me, those balls are perfect. Breaking the balls, I choose the balls. I don't want anyone touching those. I would zip those things up and lock them away and make sure and lift the balls. So whatever feels good that day. I'm not squeezing the balls. I'm not, I don't. That's not part of my process.
No, not at all.
I feel the lace. I feel the leather. I feel the tack on the ball, breaking their own balls.
Sounds kinky.
All the quarterbacks, they have the balls in play. Some guys like them thin, some guys like them tacky, some guys like them brand new, some guys like old balls. Some guys like old balls, some guys like old balls. I also know that how I like the balls, and I tell them how great they are before the game. This is a very serious, topic.
What's so crazy to me?
Shout out to Deadspin for the amazing supercut.
What's so crazy to me is the same attention that Bill Belichick paid to making sure he didn't say balls almost seemed to be the same attention that Tom Brady paid to making awkward references of balls.
But he threaded a fine needle though, where he seemed to be somewhat oblivious that he was saying balls so casually. Do you know what I'm saying? Like if you were like your friend, like I don't even know what a comparison is to that, but like if you're at a party and someone has toilet paper on the shoe or something like that, and you're like, yo, you got toilet paper on your shoe, whatever, and they just like dancing, and you're like, how are you dancing so hard? The toilet paper is still stuck to your shoe and you don't see this. I feel like it's the only equivalent. Tom Brady clearly was like, I'm just going to say balls as many times as I can and put it in really the most awkward context. Zipping them up, you don't make a reference like that unless you know what you're doing.
Well, we digress from there, from the Deflategate. We move on to the actual sports and weed story.
Who are the dudes that we have?
I'm sorry, but I just want to say it's like when you watch a cartoon when you like look back.
What was that, a cartoon?
I had to say it like that just because.
I was going to let it go.
Yeah, no, don't let it go. I did it on purpose. So it's okay. When you watch like a Disney film, when you're an adult and you're like, get all the jokes. That's what I feel like this is. It's like you get all the they are taking the media and like just having.
Yeah, they're having a good time.
They're playing with the balls.
Tom Brady decided he was going to have fun with balls. Kids.
Some people actually wrote a real article though about how to explain this to your children. And I'm like, it's probably the bottom of your list of things your kids need to know about. It's the bottom of the list. Go do homework.
Yeah, stop watching TV.
Go play with the balls.
Today there was an article. I'm trying to remember where was that article that you showed me, April?
What?
The article that you showed me about sports and
Business Insider.
Oh, that's right. Business Insider did an interesting article about whether or not marijuana is a performance-enhancing drug. And this is interesting because you and I have talked about this, April, and you and I have talked about this, Teddy. And yet, I have flip-flopped so many times I don't know how to feel anymore. And I really – I'm getting to the point where –
Well, that's where the marijuana comes in, my friend. You're an athlete.
Well, but that's the thing. This article, one of the things that they do point out, one of the big ones, they talk to a guy who owns a string of gyms. And he says that when he is medicating and he uses edibles beforehand, he's a Colorado gym owner. He, quote, marijuana relaxes me and allows me to go into a controlled meditational place. When I get high, I train smarter and focus on form. And there's something to be said about the numbness it'll give you in the muscles, especially in an indica that'll kind of relax you. The muscles won't hurt. It's a bronchodilator. Your lungs will expand. You'll be able to take more oxygen, which gives you more endurance. Doesn't that, by definition, make it a performance-enhancing drug?
I'm going to pump you up.
I concur with the former governor. No. Oh, here's the thing, though, right? Like,
does anybody see that pumping iron?
Oh, yes. Believe me, my favorite scene from that is at the end when he's smoking the joint. He's going, I earned this lot. I deserve this. I'm sorry. I smoked this because I earned it. Yeah.
Yeah,
it is.
Good. I just think performance-enhancing drug is such a weird misnomer. Do you know what I'm saying? Because, first of all, let's just say I ran an elite athletic team, a franchise, what have you, okay?
As an African-American man, you're right. That is a big imagine.
I've shattered all the barriers. You live in a hypothetical scenario. Also, in this world, I've resurrected Frederick Douglass. He's just hanging out. Got a show on CNN. I digress. Listen, I own this team, right? If you weren't trying to enhance your performance in some way, shape, or form, I would cut you. I would cut you. Okay, so fine. Maybe you used a drug. What's the drug? Are you smoking weed? Okay, were you training better than you ever trained before in your life? What rule are we breaking? I feel like it's such a weird thing to be like, performance-enhancing drugs are a no-no. But it's like, well, what fucking other drugs are you going to take, though?
But isn't – well, here's the thing, though. The conversation I had before was always when I saw Aaron Rodgers after a game where he had gotten sacked like 12 times and he looked so fucking high at the podium and during his postgame. It was ridiculous. But here's the thing is that Vicodin that they shoot him up with that gets him high after the game, if he were to take that Vicodin before a training session, he wouldn't train better. That, I feel like, is where the line is. I feel like the line is if it can make you better, it's performance enhancing. And I think that, personally, I think the science has shown that...
As opposed to being able to perform through your pain. Right, because that's enhancing your
as opposed to suffering.
Because like a drug like that
in a professional like a pain, sport like a Vicodin, is a man not supposed to be only as good as that man is, and that's it.
Yeah,
with no assistance. I mean,
women can't get high before the game too. B, come on, son.
What I'm saying is, when I watch a professional sports event, I expect those athletes to be just like. No assistance. It's just you.
Clean.
It's just you.
You expect them to be clean.
If I smoke weed before I play sports, you better put cupcakes at the end of the field.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing as the deflate gate, where it's like, you know what? Here's the thing. Whether you believe that the inflated ball is a little bit of an advantage or a big advantage, or whether you believe smoking weed is a very, very, very small advantage or a huge advantage, it's an advantage. It unlevels the playing field. And that is, in its definition, cheating. Is it? I mean, that's kind of how I.
But do they let people on the field that are on pain meds?
Yeah, like if I again. So
but
like,
that's not enhancing their performance.
Sure, it is if I didn't shoot you up and you still felt pain, you wouldn't be fucking performing. So what? Like, what's
okay,
the line?
That's fair. That's
what's
fair.
What's the line? I guess that's what I'm saying. If I allow you to take a fucking aspirin because your head hurts and you can't concentrate, and all of a sudden you can concentrate. Have you not taken a performance-enhancing drug, technically speaking? Is that not what an aspirin is for?
Right.
How is that different? If you have a fucking raging migraine...
It doesn't increase my endurance. That aspirin doesn't increase my endurance.
Your ability to function cognitively, which is integral to your ability to be a professional athlete, okay? It's all well and good that you're a fucking freak of nature and some sort of physical prototype, but if your brain don't work, get off my goddamn field. Okay? So you can't think straight. Like, you're straight up Percy Harvin, okay? Let's take Percy Harvin. You have all the migraines, right? You get cut
a lot.
You get hit a lot. Your head hurts. You're out for weeks at a time. If someone was like, hey, baby, take some of these gummies, okay? And you be running all over this field, right? Are you going to take them?
Fuck yeah.
You're going to take them. Now, if the commissioner comes to you and said, oh, that's a performance-enhancing drug, you'd be like, yo, B, I couldn't even go to the fucking grocery store last week until I took these gummies. You're damn right I can run on the football field now. Whose side you coming down on? You coming down on Roger Goodell's? Or are you coming down on Percy, I'll punch you in the face if you had sex with my friend's wife, Harvard? Whose side are you coming down on?
Oh, no. Oh, God. You know what? I hear the argument, but
and
hear
me out. Oh, that sounds real Roger Goodell-ish.
I
see you putting on a power suit right now.
Hear me out. While I put on my red power tie.
Go ahead, Patrick Bateman.
And I just simply say that the Vicodin that kills the pain, the aspirin that gets rid of the headache. I wish I could remember the name of that drug that they inject in their knees. I wish I could remember the name of it, but they call it the miracle serum.
Black tar heroin.
No, that would be Dilaudid.
Depends
on
where you play football.
But that is not going to increase their endurance. That's not going to focus their brain. That's not going to.
They haven't done any extensive testing on cannabis enough to know there's tons of different things it does, but it's been known for thousands of years to have an anti-inflammatory effect. Like, it's been known, you know, like Ayurvedic medicine, Chinese medicine, topically as an analgesic. That is known.
In the from this article from Business Insider, they even say in the World Anti-Doping Association's current ban on competing while stoned, the organization cites studies that show marijuana can decrease anxiety and increase airflow to the lungs by acting as a bronchodilator. Sometimes that decreases something that decreases resistance to the airways. That's what
I don't want a bunch of not breathing anxious motherfuckers to be competing, son. That's how people get shut down. That's how they shut down people in the old world, son. If you were like, hey, come out and see the best athletes, they're like, how come 40s motherfuckers are choking on the track? You're like, well, good night, folks. I'm out of here.
So what you're saying is that you think the performance-enhancing side of it isn't large enough to get rid – or are you just saying, no, let them roid up, let them get stoned?
I'm not saying let them roid up. Okay, I'm not saying let them eat roids. that's not what I'm saying. I just feel like marijuana –
back to the ball.
If we're speaking specifically with marijuana, balls. Right, it's got such amorphous qualities, okay? It's not like we're talking about opium, right? It's not like we're talking about cocaine. Like, for example, would you allow cocaine to be if someone was like, ah,
you mean wondering why John Jones was tested for that before the fight?
Before the fight, but not in the pre-fight?
That would put a new new name to the Jets, right? It would be like...
That was good. She had one of those waiting. She was waiting for that one.
That is two weeks in a row that I've been burned so hard on this show.
You brought that one on yourself, though.
Why am I getting it? April's laughing so hard, trying not to do it into the mic.
She almost stumbled, though? She was so giddy.
She was so giddy
to napalm that ass. She was like, oh, shit, better watch out. Better get out of here before I bring this heat.
You have no idea how happy I am that we are a minute and a half away from the 20-minute mark.
Look,
so I can smoke some weed.
All I'm really saying is
I need to medicate.
To bring my ass. I get it. Okay, decreases anxiety. increases your airflow. I understand your point about it being a performance enhancer, so on and so forth. I do feel like, though, if there was some sort of mental health exemption, right? And you were like, okay,
if you were ADD.
Sure. There's got to be some, if we're acknowledging the sort of medical recreational divide from marijuana specifically, which doesn't really seem to exist for other drugs at the moment. Maybe LSD, if we get some scientists back on that game.
what up?
Shout out Cuckoo's Nest. Okay, let's say we're acknowledging that, and that's really the political debate in this country, recreational versus medicinal, right? Yeah. Some people are willing to go, even if we take New Jersey and, you know, Chris Christie and him, and he's like, you know, I'll do medicinal maybe if you show me this, that, or whatever, but I'm not going to do recreational. So if there's a waiver.
Well, I mean, that's the interesting thing. I mean, I've heard some people in Texas who've said, don't give me that medical. I'll take recreational because I believe that everything should be. Because that,
that's because you're dealing with the Republic of Texas, goddammit.
Yeah, where it's like, you know.
Oh, I'm not going to pussyfoot around it. If we're going to do it, we're going to do it, okay? I'm going to go and I'm going to buy some fucking weed and I'm going to get this fucking moonshine. I'm going to get this Jack Daniels. I'm going to go home. I'm going to shoot some fireworks. And you're not going to tell me shit because these are my acres.
You are not. You can't be a real Texan because you didn't say gun in that sentence once.
I didn't say what I was shooting the fireworks with. You assumed I was going to shoot them off.
And here we are at the 20-minute mark. What are we smoking today?
This is Little Dragon.
Little Dragon. Oh, I like some Little Dragon.
It's the frostiest thing you'll ever
It is
see.
Very frosty looking. It's got a very sweet smell. Or is this a sativa?
It's a sativa hybrid.
Ah, sativa hybrid. Okay,
Definitely think there's OG in there.
Well, we had this long conversation last week. Is OG is a sativa, not an indica, or at least it would seem that Rich would argue that it's a sativa, not an indica.
Oh yeah. No. I mean, if you've ever seen a sativa grow and you've seen an indica grow, you would say, it's tall. It's leafy.
It certainly has all the characteristics of it.
If it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, sometimes it just has higher concentrations of, say, like THC or
which always throws it out. Getting back to the
are you gonna grant me that waiver? Yes or no? I come to you and I say, hey man, I got this real like muscular thing, but when I smoke this weed, baby, I can run my ass off. Can I race?
You know what? I'm going to say medical exemptions could be granted. I absolutely do. I could go for that.
Can I race or not, Mr. Goodell?
I say you can
race.
I say you can race.
Let them race.
Let
them race.
I believe as long as
we did it.
I think that's where recreation will fail the situation. You know, if it's medical or if that's why you're using it, then you have that reason to use it. But if it's recreational, then it's like, oh my god, he was drunk on the field.
It's got to be really, you know? I think we've had pitchers who have said, like, I pitched blacked out, son.
David Wells used to talk about how, like, drunk he would, his right. fat ass Yo, would be on the mound
fucking,
in New York.
It's a fucking legend that Wade Boggs drank 100 beers in a day or some shit like that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Babe Ruth was fucking drunk.
Major drunk.
Let's not pretend and like, it's not a thing for people to just be drunk as fuck playing sports. We're just okay with it. We're just okay with it. And 20 years from now, I would be great if someone was like, Kevin Durant was high as shit when he got a quadruple-double. I'd be like, yeah, baby. I believed it. He was grooving too much in them timeouts.
Did you ever hear the story that came out when it was the NBA officials were on strike? And when they were coming back, they were talking about players used to come on reeking of marijuana. They would run onto the court reeking of marijuana, which means, by the way, if you don't know how marijuana smell works, which if you're listening to this show, you probably do. That means
you are the 1% of this show. you are special people. If you don't know how marijuana works and you're listening to the cunning linguist.
That's the second time he's called us that.
The cunning linguist. No, the canna linguist. There you go.
It's cool.
You let it go.
She's like,
There's a lot of cannabis happening. Go. Appreciate it.
I'll let that slide. I'll allow it.
I keep thinking of the rap group at the time. There's a rap group.
No, and they're ill.
They are.
The cunning linguists.
It's so hard. My brain has to rewire itself in real time. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Canna linguist. Got it. Hat trick. Not a hat trick, but third time's a charm.
Well, moving on, Beast Mode OG. I don't know if that's the name of it, but apparently a dispensary in Seattle is going to be naming a marijuana after Marshawn Lynch, the running back of the Seattle Seahawks. Is this city just trying to do anything to make sure Marshawn Lynch stays
Absolutely.
In Seattle?
Yes.
Because they know he's gone next year?
The name of the strain.
Beast Mode 2.0.
Absolutely, yeah.
How did I know it was going to be called Beast Mode?
5% more THC than last year's strain.
Which is incredible. First of all, I feel like not a lot of cities deserve a Super Bowl team See what I'm saying?
Which, like, by the way, what a quote. It's a super pain reliever and hits you just like Marshawn hard and fast.
Phenomenal description game. Well done, Queen Anne Cannabis.
Have you seen this? The image of the Seahawks logo with it's weed. It's just weed.
Oh my gosh! That is ridiculous. I mean, it's so weird because I remember. I mean, it gets back to it. I remember when this conversation first happened when they legalized marijuana recreationally in Washington. People said, "Does that mean that athletes in those states can use it?" And the conversation started, and they decided no. And oh my gosh, man! You know, let's be honest. Well, Marshawn's probably smoking in the off season, and I don't blame him.
Here's the underrated thing: like, if you were a Seahawks fan, right, and you were like, "Hey, we could get back to the Super Bowl next year," probably what you weren't thinking is that, and if we do, they'll create an extra potent strain of that beast mode again, which is awesome, right? I have never, like, in the years, there's been 49 Super Bowls, right?
Yeah, 49.
49 Super Bowls. This is the second time with the same team that someone was like, hey, we gonna make some marijuana after you, dude. Keep doing that football shit. Look, no one ever did that for Joe Namath.
Training mask.
Yeah, I've seen that.
But ever since the beast quake, as it were, things have never been the same they liked Marshawn, and then that one run happened. And ever since then, I mean, he is really a man of legend up there.
He's like a real life, like, you're like watching like real life Paul Bunyan, you know, John Henry folk legend shit happen.
Hey, bro, you know what I'm talking about when I say beast quake. Do you know what the beast quake was?
Beast quake?
The beast quake. Have you not heard? Okay, when the year that the Seattle Seahawks were 7-9 and still made the playoffs, everyone was making fun of them.
Didn't have a reason to be there.
Reason to be in the playoffs.
I will tell you right now, if I was the commissioner, I would have...
He would have kicked him out of the playoffs.
I would have said no team. I still feel this way forever. Forever, son. As long as professional football exists until like 2026, I will forever say no team with a losing record deserves to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, he would say the Carolina shouldn't have made it in this year.
Absolutely no.
And Seattle was playing New Orleans, who'd won the Super Bowl the year before
that. And they got a home game.
Yeah, and they got a home game against them.
Disgusting.
And New Orleans had won 11 games that year. And everyone went, well, whatever. New Orleans will just go in there and mop the shit out of Seattle. And Seattle gave them a game. And they were up by 4 with with a couple minutes left. Or no, they were up by 10.
Everybody in Seattle listening just to this a couple right minutes now left. Is so angry at you for just squandering all the details. They know
I'm squandering the details. They know exactly how much time was left, and I apologize for not
They're
knowing.
They're watching it right now, yelling at you. That's on mute. They're just watching it and yelling at you.
But Marshawn broke, I believe it was about a 55-yard run, running over 11 guys.
He threw grown men off of him.
Like they were children. I mean, it really was a...
Get off me, little bitch.
It was...
Internet videos were
I've never
made.
Seen a man, no.
Gotta go
It was amazing. If you've never YouTubed it, go home, YouTube.
Well, that's where
Marshawn Lynch hold my dick celebration came. That's where hold my dick started.
He holds his dick as he scores
as
the touchdown.
As he's scoring the touchdown.
He dives into the end zone.
Backwards.
He sort of does that thing when you're in the pool, then you like jump... into the pool, but you like turn around to like be like, hey, I'm jumping in the pool. Except like he was like, hey, I scored a touchdown and I'm holding my dick. And his teammates were like, yeah, you did that, Marshawn. You did that.
And it's so.
That's why they fine him now for holding his dick. There's a man who gets fined for holding his
dick.
When
this happened, basically, this touchdown.
That's flagrant, right?
On top of this touchdown being just a beastly, amazing display of athleticism and toughness and game playing. It also put the game away, and the city in Seattle went so crazy that a 1.7 earthquake.
It was a blip.
Yeah, it was
they
a blip.
Put a blip on the Richter scale.
They put a blip on the Richter scale,
which shouldn't happen.
Which has forever been known as the Beast Quake.
And the original Beast Mode strain. You see that description right there?
This is a true thing. There are T-shirts that actually have a picture of the strip from the little line thing that does the.
It's really hard. It's really hard for Marshawn Lynch to do wrong in Seattle.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I mean, How inflated are his balls?
All right, well,
the guy, who, the man who owns the shop, had said the man who owns the shop had said the Beast Mode strain. Marshawn has gears when he's running. It's kind of like that. It has a little bit of a slow start and then kicks in.
That's Beast Mode 1.0. If you're keeping score.
I'm talking about his ego. I said how inflated are his balls?
Sure. Sure you are.
Call back, you know.
Call back.
Oh, God. Whatever. April's just loving it. Like, whatever reference to balls we can make all night long. April's a happy, happy, happy girl. We're just going to talk about balls all night long.
Balls. And my grandma used to say, oh, like, balls.
Your grandma actually said balls when she was angry?
Are you serious? Your mom, your grandma...
My grandma, I get my humor from my grandma. Like, she was like the dirtiest. She had the dirt. Like,
she's in the Depression and shit. Yeah.
Would have been that age. She lived through the
1917.
Depression.
1917.
I'm assuming like she didn't miss the Depression. Like that'd be kind of weird if she was like, no, everything was great in 1938. I had a fucking phenomenal time.
She was a Rosie the Riveter.
Okay.
She's
on the front line. Okay.
She's a riveter.
She built ships. Yeah.
Yo,
welder.
You should see if anybody in the canalinguist crowd has smoked any Beast Mode 2.0. Future episodes. You should have.
Hit us up on Twitter at the canalinguist, please, or at canalinguist, not the canalinguist.
Yeah, if you've got a taste of that Beast Mode or Beast Mode 2.0, we'll take either strain.
Yeah, we want to know
what it's like.
What it was like. I want to know what smoking
and what you smoke it out of. Did you pay tribute to Beast Mode himself? Did you smoke it out of some sort of like lion head, perhaps?
As long as when you got the munchies from it, you ate Skittles, I think that Marshawn Lynch would be very happy.
Watching Beastmaster, perhaps. Oh, underrated movie.
No, it's not.
You're a goddamn liar. Yeah, goddamn liar. When's the last time you even watched Beastmaster?
Gosh, it's
I'll
gotta
let
be...
you move on with the show before I rivet the people.
Well, moving on. We watched an interesting story beforehand from a local news station, a mother in Pittsburgh, who is treating her 10-year-old daughter who suffers from grand mal seizures with cannabis oil and described the reaction as they did in 10 minutes what pharmaceuticals couldn't do in 10 years. She went from having an average of 3 to 4 seizures a day to four days. Which is miraculous. And as Teddy pointed out, did this on a local news station.
Yeah.
In a state where it's illegal.
Look, that's a bold move where you just come out and you're like, I'm not going to let... This is what she said at one point.
Yeah, she did say the quote.
I'm not going to let a law stop me from taking care of my daughter. And you're just like, whoa, first of all, nobody told you how laws work, because that's exactly how laws work. Like, I don't like laws, but that's what they do. They're like, nah, B, you're not going to take care of your daughter, though.
Rights? Rights.
But, like, it's amazing, though, we've reached a place where just average citizens are willing to bring in a local news crew, and they care. Because that's the thing, like, even let's go back 5 years ago, local news crews aren't really giving a shit about medicinal marijuana in Pennsylvania, even in Pittsburgh. Like, it's a little bit more urban or what have you, but like, it's they don't give a shit. But now we've reached a place where a mother can have this kind of experience and get that kind of attention and say with confidence, I'm not going to let the law stop me from doing right by my child. And people sympathize with her.
Yeah.
There's a huge shift.
I mean, it's interesting. It definitely seems like the global shift, or at least our country's shift, is towards recognizing this as having medical benefits. If nothing else, even if we're not willing to have full recreational legalization, at least recognizing medical benefits.
Colorado is starting to do research on medical benefits at their children's hospital. That we talked about.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. That they're starting to do that, and it,
which is really how it started. I mean, and that's really it. I mean, you've got to establish the sort of legitimacy, and I think anybody who sort of is a decent person, I'll say, and is who may use marijuana recreationally, but if you're sort of a sort of awareness, you kind of understand the need to say, okay, we can say this definitively from a medical peer-reviewed standpoint. That shit is important.
Well, that's something I'm curious to ask you, April. As someone who's worked in dispensaries, like what I'm trying to find a way to delicately phrase this. What percentage of patients would you say coming in really legitimately had something that they were suffering from that cannabis was curing? Or not curing, but at least treating.
Alleviating.
You know, having an effect, making you feel, having some sort of benefits from it.
Not your dude who's walking in going, "Chow, what's going to get me nice and ripped, brah?"
I mean, you'll have the people that do
that. Yeah, I know. I acknowledge that happens.
You talking about Mark?
Well, no. There's that first. There's that first, like, in the medical scene, that balance of learning the correct vernacular, like saying that things, you know, it's your medicine. It's not.
Yeah, I'm medicating. I'm not getting high.
Right, but also it's like, what is it? You know, what are you using it for in the first place? You know, everybody's using it medicinally, even though it's seen in a casual atmosphere because that's how you would get it. You know, if you could get it as medicine, you would use it medicinally because you can also judge the people by the people that walk through the door. I worked at one of the like known dispensaries and one of the original ones in the city, and I had people walk in and I'd say, "Hey, you know, if you don't mind me asking," because legally, they don't have to tell you I'm not a doctor. Yeah. You know, they got their
HIPAA rights.
I don't know you.
Well, I mean, I would always be super polite and say, "Hey, you know, if you don't mind me asking, you're welcome to keep this information to yourself, but it will help me decide what might be best for you." And some people would tell me that they had HIV, and I'd be like, "Whoa!" Or they tell me they have cancer, and I'd say, "What?" Like, some people you can't even tell by looking at them that they have a disease, you know, because you don't know, you know. People sometimes they just live with it.
So on that average, then what would you say was the average of people coming in who told you what they were being treated for, and you were like, okay? And what were the average that you either said nothing or like whatever?
I think it depends on the area. I've been in a few different shops where, you know,
are they more willing?
Like
to disclose?
When I worked in West Hollywood, upscale. You know, I definitely had a lot more. You know, cancer and AIDS patients than I did in, say, East LA or in the Valley. You know, you might have a different demographic. You know, they just,
that makes
there's
sense.
Different,
that
you know, you might have
sense.
A lot of young kids, but, you know, I would rather see somebody, even if it's dabs and heavy shit, like, I'd rather see them doing that because it's going to make them chill. You know, alcohol and other drugs is going to make them crazy. So, you know, even if you are of a demographic that's more recreational, I welcome it. That's my opinion.
That's
fair.
That's
not an answer. I'd still say it's like at least 50-50.
Okay.
Fairly. Because there's that fine line of like, it might appear to be.
Yeah,
mostly,
that's fair.
Mostly people that just want to get
high. In your professional opinion, that was just what I was curious
about.
But
there were those surprises, you know? So I feel like 50-50 would be the only fair way because you don't know. People don't, like, sometimes there are so many people. I'd say 50% or more of the people that smoke cannabis are the ones that are trying to do it as an alternative to, you know,
synthetic pharmaceutical
drugs. Because that's the majority of the people that I've dealt with.
What I think is interesting from what you said is sort of like if medicine was available, you would just get it, right?
Right.
And I think you sort of step back and you think how we talk about substances, mind-altering substances culturally. And if you use the term self-medicate just in casual conversation, I would say the substance that everyone's mind goes to immediately would be alcohol, right? Yeah. If you talk about self-medication, most people would assume you're drowning your sorrows. Think of how many fucking colloquialisms we have for using alcohol as some sort of medication.
Well, hold on, though, because I'll amend that and say in a modern age and what the world's turning into and how we realize that definitions can sometimes be redefined, I certainly know that when my parents split up because my mom was not a smoker and my dad was, one of the terms that my mom used a lot about my dad was self-medicating. And my mom said that as a lady who drank half a bottle of Chardonnay a night. You know, fairly, you know. I mean, she switched to red ever since, which, you know. But I mean, my mom is not a drinker,
I
but
like
my mom
will,
yeah, I like reds more too. I'm not. I hate when it gets too sweet. Too sweet.
Red wines make me kind of nauseous.
But I mean, okay, that's a fair point in that regard. But I think if we're just sort of doing a Family Feud style, right? I think you would have a majority answer that's going to go with alcohol as self medication. But I think the point that I'm kind of trying to get at
I
is
I guess
that
the only point that I'm saying is that in 20 years, I think people might call self medic if we
sure, and that's fair, but that's an advancement. But as of right now, though, if we're just taking a snapshot of where we are,
okay, fair
and
enough,
we're looking,
fair
if we're looking at the right now. It is acceptable to use alcohol as an on-the-shelf medication to alleviate your woes of all kinds. We're perfectly fine with it, right? But if you use marijuana for whatever reason, you've got loopholes and restrictions of all different kinds to navigate. And I think that's the fascinating thing when you look at the prohibition aspect and how far you've come since we were like, no, everything about this is a terrible idea. Let it flow all throughout the land. And now we're to the place where like, yeah, sure, someone broke your heart. Let me take you out to a bar and you can get drunk and I'll throw you in a cab. And we'll, you know what I'm saying? But you're like, well, wait, you smoke weed to go to your shitty job so that you could deal with people who you don't want to talk to every day. You're some sort of deviant.
Right. And the prohibition.
That's not a personal, okay, that's not a personal biographical statement.
Yes.
Prohibition of hemp has to do with like the paper industries and the chemical industries. And then now fast forward, we got the medical industries. Somebody pointed out to me the other day the Nixon audio tapes.
Oh yeah.
And I'm sorry if I'm late to the game, but that was like crazy.
Nixon.
Talking about Kaiser and all the like the introduction of like for profit medicine.
Well, when Reagan,
but,
you know, Reagan.
But
was
getting
all about
back to what you said though, but here's the thing though about like the whole even work and you know the drinking. Here's the thing: if I were to tell people when I showed if. I've had coworkers, I've got a few who I'm friends with who I've told that I'm like, I medicate before I go to work because I'm severely ADD. I can't be on a very quiet soundstage all day in the quiet and sit still quietly
right.
because I can't. I'm too ADD for it.
But
it'll drive
me
up a wall.
For work.
And that depends on what you do for work.
But if I wait tables, I cannot smoke before I wait tables.
It depends on what you do and it depends on who you are.
I smoke before every job I've had. Since 2009.
Yeah, but I know you and you need to. And that's the whole thing. You are definitely medicating
First
in that
of all,
situation.
You don't
Depends
know
on what I have to do.
Shit about me.
Do
you
I need,
don't know my life. You don't know nothing
do
about
I
me.
Do I need to tell the Cantilinguists listening
about
network
that life?
The story about who Teddy
life?
Tutson is and the child sitting on the plateau looking at the trains that are about to crash and I mean, I could tell them that story.
Nobody needs to know any stories about me. Nobody needs to know. Keep your show moving. Keep it moving. Maybe another day.
But
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, getting back
Damn
to where
it,
I was.
April's intrigued now. She's like, note to self off air. Bring up train story.
Yeah.
No, I just made right. I made an observation.
He has unrelated to what we're saying right now, but no one has diagnosed my comedy sort of brain the way Alex Mandelberg has. Is a very like off the cuff. Like he was just like, oh, by the way, this is how you think of things, and I was like, God damn, he is right. Like I didn't even know that was how my brain functioned, and he was like, yeah, this is what you'd be doing out there. And he's done it twice. He's like, I feel like he's building some sort of anthology about the inner workings of my synapses.
I think some people
it
are just really
me.
Good at compartmentalizing things. Like,
it's kind of a jam.
That's you. And you're like, oh shit.
Yeah, but it's like he's never tipped his hand before that he was working on this. It really he just is like. By the way, chapter two. This is you right here. You're a small child on a mountainside. This train's coming. And then he just, and then you're like,
yeah, no, he was a small child.
Are you getting into the train story now?
Nope. I was going to flash forward. I see, I was going 10 minutes later. That's what the flash forward was happening.
Go fuck yourself.
basically, Teddy Tutson's comedy, he is the man who stands on a cliff. And this cliff overlooks a valley. And this valley is empty. There's nothing in it but one lone train track. And on this train track, there are two trains heading in opposite directions right towards each other. Now, they're going way too fast for him to be able to run. I mean, he's miles and miles away. There's no way he can get down there and stop them. And they're going too fast to stop on their own. And they're going to crash. And a lot of people might lose their lives. Terrible
things. They're going to die.
Terrible things are about to happen.
People are going to die.
And at this time, Teddy Tutson has a choice. To either turn his back and not witness such terrible devastation, or, well, it's going to happen anyways. I'm going to sit down and record this for human history, and I'll be the one who tells the story.
Someone's going to want to know how this happened. And someone's got to tell them how all the bad things went down. It's not your choice to be that dude. Sometimes you're just born on a fucking cliff witnessing bad things. And he told me that, and I was like, oh my God, that is me. I was born on that cliff. That is me.
Oh my God.
I just sat in my, I texted him. I was like, I just like on my couch, just like, I just like smoking all of the bowls. I didn't go to sleep that night, because he like does it, this is what he does, like he'll give me a ride home and then he'll be like, oh, by the way, this is your life. And then he's like, well, good night, good hanging out with you.
He's like the Oracle.
It's like, yeah, some straight up Neo shit where she's like, go
be alone with your thoughts later.
And I'm like, god damn it, this is like that joke that he has about being Jewish alone in the tree with a gun and whatever, and I'm like, don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby, don't you put that evil on me. You're gonna drop me off. I'm sure, I don't know if anyone else has a friend out there in the network who just is like drops you off and is like, hey, by the way, here's a real dose of existentialism. Okay, cool. Good night, man. Real tight hanging out tonight.
Check you later.
So it's good. It's good having friends, in conclusion.
Oh, gosh. I forget. I know we were talking about legalization
somewhere. Mother in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, this mother in Pittsburgh.
Who woke up to her daughter having a seizure, not having a seizure for the first time in 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable.
It's really weird that we can get to a place now where where these conversations can happen in real open kind of...
You mean conversations in the news where she's like, I don't give a fuck about a law.
That's great. Like, listen, I think that's okay. Listen, you're talking about go back on the timeline and this shit used to be reserved for like a Dateline 2020 kind of thing. Do you know what I mean?
It was and they'd advertise it for a week where they're like, we're going to talk about marijuana.
It was real water cooler shit for the nation at large. And now we've reached this place where certain regions have sort of normalized it and are really starting to sort of establish a foundation, like in Colorado, where they're like, okay, well, like we absolutely know there's medicinal benefits. Let's see what they really are. Because we that's the thing, right? Everyone gets in these fucking conversations and you're like, well, what's your authoritative – is the Mayo Clinic out here talking about fucking medicinal marijuana?
We talked about
this little girl had 400 seizures a day. Her mom was just like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm going to do – if people say that this is going to help me just because it's not legal in my state, I'm going to do it anyways.
Right. And didn't she – and the mom says that she made the move because at the end of last year, they were on a waiting list for a cannabis oil study. Listen, it was cannabis oil. It's not like she's just like, hey, baby, come smoke these J's, which is what I feel like some people think when you talk about medicinal marijuana. And you just think about these fucking world star stories where you see like a parent giving a 3-year-old a joint. You're talking about fucking concerned parents who give a shit and do their due diligence.
And by the way, are giving their children cannabis oils that in a lot of cases are low, low THC, high CBD.
The only thing that it's going to do is either like it's going to –
Well, that was the thing that we found out. One of the things in the study that we even found out, by the way, on this point, even if they were giving them these – they found out that the THC in low dosages and amping them up slowly to an average dose – No change in the children's personality at all.
Right.
You can make oil without decarbing it. you know, without activating the THC. You can just wash the oil with ethanol and, or, you know, ISO or whatever you're doing to make the cannabis oil. And you don't, the heating action is what turns it from. Remember we talked about
THCA? Yeah, we did. We talked about that last week.
And I think that's the thing, right? If you're talking about, if you're just a fucking average parent, right? You're just, you're a working class. Like, you're just barely getting by. Do you know what I mean? And, like, your kid goes from 400 seizures a day to 3 to 4, like, to 1 every 3 to 4 days, which is astronomical.
That's amazing. I was, like, bawling my eyes out when I watched that clip.
Astronomical, man.
You know, the little girl, she couldn't even use half of her body.
Yeah, she's like, she's got basic motor skills.
They described her at 10 years old as taking her first steps and using her hands for the first time in her life.
She's like playing with blocks and shit, you know, like she's going through all the things that she was supposed to go through as a younger kid. And it's that situation where if you just have these kind of average parents out here who are like, get me every fucking camera I can find. Because you know, in Pennsylvania, you have a new governor.
Look at this.
They just got rid of Tom Corbett, who was the worst.
But listen, tell me how you really
listen,
feel.
Listen, let's be real. Pennsylvania, your man Tom Corbett, he's not your man because you voted that motherfucker out of office. Your other
That's
man,
when your boy doesn't.
Your friend's man, Tom Corbett, the only Republican governor who really lost by a landslide in this past election because he fucked up so bad on everything, dude. So you got Tom Wolf in here. You got a new governor, right? Your man's just getting in office. She's like, bring me all the cameras. I'm about to fucking go to the governor's mansion with this shit. And how are you going to be the new governor and you got a mother here who's like, yo, my kid just went from 400 seizures to 1.
Yeah.
Pass this bill. It's going to be real tough for you when the local news is on it. It's not like it's fucking Anderson Cooper doing a drop-in for 3 days. WPXI has no reason to let this story fall through the cracks. They'll follow this shit for like 8 months.
Yeah.
They'll follow it all the way through your whole term in office. And that's where we're at now politically, where we were never at before in terms of the medicinal front. It's obviously very different for recreational. But in terms of having average people who are like, I don't really give a fuck about weed. Like, I'm just trying to live. I'm just trying to fucking get my daughter healthy. And you're like, if this thing can help me, then I'm fighting for this thing.
Well, it's interesting because unfortunately, we don't have enough time left to have this full conversation. But this is a debate that I do want to have with you on this show, which is who will be the first party to just jump whole hog behind recreational when it does come, when the time does come around, because I think that that's the way the boat is going. Which party will be the party to jump behind it? Will it be the Republicans or will it be the Democrats? Because
that's
I know,
a whole episode.
That's a whole episode because I know that you're. I know that you would say the Democrats.
And you're wrong.
I just want to say that
you're not wrong. I mean, I don't know how.
I really do believe that you would think the Democrats.
It depends on the year, and it depends on. There's a lot of things.
We're gonna have to hold that thought because that could be a whole episode.
This little girl, though, the lady said she had a 10-year-old infant, and when she grew within an hour, was able to get up and walk.
And it was interesting because in the video,
Look it up. Look at the video. Watch the video.
You see a girl who's 10 years old who's kind of acting like an infant, which
she's
like,
really learning basic skills. She's playing, she's learning to walk.
You're wondering why she's acting a little immature. Because she's a 10-year-old who just was able to talk for the first time.
Yeah, she's like discovering how to use her body for the first time. And I think that's it. I mean, we sort of got a little sidetracked, but it was the mother in the report says that she was on a waiting study for cannabis oil, and some of the kids didn't make it to Christmas, I think. And that's when she was like, fuck it. I can't wait. How do you watch that? How do you hear that story? How do you listen to, you know, Jessica Hawkins is her name? How do you listen to Jessica talk about her daughter and not walk away from that thinking, we got to fix a lot of shit?
It's that old adage of, you know, do you burn the village to kill the one criminal in it, or do you, you know, do you set it all free and on the chance that one of them is innocent?
Depends on the criminal. But that's not applicable here.
Well, I
would set a lot of villages on fire.
I really feel like it is, because it's that whole idea of, you know, the people who go, I think most people aren't using it medicinally, blah, blah, blah. That's when I point to this story and I go, if it just helps this one kid, if I told you that everyone else who's using it is not using it medicinally, but this one kid was being able to have a life just because of marijuana.
It's right. Not even is that one
good. That's so right. That should be good enough.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing where we're now reaching this place where for every mother that comes out, like a Jessica Hawkins, and it sort of replaces that era where you had a sketchy YouTube video or some weird bogus link that you were trying to send around, and now you've got this sort of legitimate story that you can be like, how many other people are there out there like her? Yeah. And this kid.
It's an amazing story. Well, before we wrap up, April, do you want to tell us real quick how awesome the Secret Sesh was?
Oh, I went to this cool thing called the Secret Sesh. Hashtag Secret Sesh. And it's in LA. It's at a remote location. They don't give out the address until the day of. And you have to give your rec and all this stuff. And it's just it's a very industry for the high life. For the dab life.
For those on the inside.
Dab life. Hashtag dab life.
Abel got invited, by the way. I haven't made it yet.
You are slumming it, sir.
I have not made it yet.
Be grateful that April still deigns this podcast.
I went with Honey Pot. Yes. And, you know, we're doing a special release coming up soon.
For
the High Times Cup. And, it was cool. Adam Ill was there. He does Getting High With, and that's on BeReal TV. So
we'll get him in
here, too, for sure, soon.
That sounds like a plan.
Fuck yeah. And it was cool. I was here at Casa de Fuck Yeah getting... getting my Patriot blowout on.
Oh, one but more dagger. One more dagger.
She just had to dig at my own home. I cooked pork shoulder for her.
Tough break. Yo.
It was awesome. I came by. I could only stay for the first quarter, but I had to leave and go to the Secret Sesh. But
it was awesome. Well, hopefully.
I was day drinking, so, you know, I had to admit that I didn't get quite as stony baloney as... I took a dab and I was like, oh, I gotta sit down. And my friend looks at me, he's like, nope, you gotta get up and walk. And she just made me like walk around the place a couple times. And she's like, you better know. Yeah, I'm better.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, better, all better.
Solid friend.
Well, this has been a fun hour. I had a good time today. Teddy, do you got anything coming up this month?
I don't know, man. I'm in these streets. You can catch me at Federal Bar on Wednesdays. And other than that, you know. So I got that album. Ain't gonna be no peace.
Ain't gonna be no peace.
You can cop
that. By the way, that's a great. I was blessed to perform on that show with Teddy.
Yeah, he helped me grace the stage that night.
I did. So. I graced the stage that night as the opener before his hour. It's a great album. If you enjoy some really good comedy, that is a great album. You can pick it up.
It gets existential
iTunes.
In that bitch, if you can imagine.
It does. Oh, if you can imagine, Teddy gets real deep into them streets. And also the first album, which
Fucking Solutions.
Yeah,
I'm doing a re-release. You know. That's what I'm doing right there. And, you know, I'm on Twitter and
very
Facebook.
Nice. What you got? What you got? Oh yeah, that's right. At Teddy Tutson.
Teddy Tutson. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And what you got? What you got going on, Ape?
I'm doing Turbo
Tuesdays at the UBG.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a fun time. Well,
I think the 27th.
Okay, yeah, well, on the 28th, the day
airing,
after that. The 28th, the day after
right
that. Yeah, this will air right after. Darn, yeah, that Friday. The day before this airs, if you can go back in time, I was going to be at the Federal Bar, but apparently they can't be there at that show.
Well, 27th or 28th?
Well, you know what?
I'll be watching the fucking Patriots deflate balls is where I'll be.
Well, actually, you know what? If any of our fans are around the Reno area, I will be in Reno, actually, Valentine's weekend. Yeah. I'll be there with the Dismantled Tour, which is a very fun tour. And you can follow me at Alex at A Mandelberg if you can learn how to spell it, or at A Funny Jew, because either one happens. And yeah, God damn it, my name is still winning, so I'm happy. We have I'm Alex Mandelberg here with April O'Connor,
Bye.
Our guest, the awesome Teddy Tutson. Have a good day.
Thanks for having me, guys.